This morning we read from Mark chapter 2, a very familiar story. And you know, sometimes the familiar parts of the Bible, we come to them, and because they're so familiar, we don't pay attention to the story. We sort of, you know, have the attitude, well, this is very familiar to me. I've been there. I've read that. I know everything about the story. There's nothing new, and so I don't need to listen because there's nothing new I can pick up. And I hope this morning that even though this story is a very familiar story, that it won't let you won't let the familiarity of it rob you of the blessing that God has prepared for us this morning in going back to this story. Jesus was in Capernaum. It was his headquarters by the Sea of Galilee where he operated his ministry out of, and he would come and go from Capernaum. Four men, or at least one of them, heard that he was back in town, and he got together with three of his other friends and said, you know, our and I don't know if it was another friend, I don't know if it was just an acquaintance, or I don't know if it was a family member, but there was another man that these four men knew that had a need in his life. And these four men said, if we can get our friend or our acquaintance to Jesus Christ, that need could be met. And so they found out where Jesus was. He was in a house. The house was packed with people. I mean, I just don't think the house was packed with people. I think they were gathered around the house, looking in through the windows to hear Jesus teach and preach. And so the Bible says they came carrying this friend that was lame of the palsy. He couldn't walk, in a pallet, one on each corner, and they came to this house and saw that it was crowded, saw that they could not get in through the door, and so the houses back in that time were flat. Most of them had a set of steps up to the roof, and people would go up to the roof in the cool of the evening and visit on the rooftop. And that this house was like the houses back then, and they said, well, let's go up on top of the roof. We have to get our friend to Jesus. We can't get through the door. We can't get through the crowd. So we'll go up on the roof and we'll raise the roof. We'll tear the roof off where he is and we'll let our friend down at his feet. And so that's what they did. They climbed the steps carrying this pallet up to the roof. They raised the roof. They tore the roof off and they let him down at Jesus' feet. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the one that was being carried. We don't know if he had any faith or not. I think he did, as you read the story. But Jesus didn't point to his faith at first. He pointed to the faith of the four men that said, if we get our friend to Jesus Christ, his need could be met. And so he pointed, I can just see him. I can picture this in my mind. There's a hole in the roof. They've left the pallet down, and there's four guys with their heads over the hole, looking down to see what was going to happen. And I think Jesus looked up at him and said, because of your faith, he said to the one that was laying on the pallet, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, there was some critics in the crowd, as there always is, that said, who is this one that thinks he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he says, hey, so that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I'll do something else. I'll heal this guy so that you know I have the power to forgive sins. And so he said to this one, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says immediately, this one that was lame of the palsy took up his bed, rolled up the pallet that he was laying on, took it, put it under his arm, went home walking, healed. And the Bible says that the people that were there, it says there in verse 12, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. This morning, I speak mainly to Christians. Now, if you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to speak to you in a second. But I speak mainly to Christians with the challenge that we live in a day, we live in a time where we need to raise the roof. We live in a day and we live in a time where we need to get people to Jesus. I want to tell you, just like it was true when he walked the face of the earth, that he could meet any need, he is still a Savior that can meet every need today. And so we as Christians have a responsibility to get the hungry to the bread of life. We as Christians have a commission to get the thirsty to the fountain of life. We as Christians have the duty to get the needy to the one that can meet all needs. And this morning, I want to give you three quick reasons why we need to do that. Number one, we need to do that because Jesus is available now. You see, in this story, he was in Capernaum. He wasn't always there. He would come and he would go. But these friends says, he's here now. He's here today. He's available now. He's available today. We need to get this one that can't walk. We need to get this one that's sick. We need to get our friend, our acquaintance, our relative, whatever he was, we need to get him to Jesus today because Jesus is available to us today. I want to remind you this morning that the love of God is available to every person. The payment for sin that God requires is available to every person. And God wants every single person to come to that love. God wants every single person to come and receive the payment that Jesus Christ made on Calvary. He wants every single person to come and receive that gift of God that he has for every person. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you and challenge you this morning that gift, that payment for sin, that thing that Jesus purchased on Calvary is available now. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know that it's available now. You see, I don't know what tomorrow holds. You may know somebody in your life that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I tell you this morning, you need to get them to Jesus now. They may not be here tomorrow. They may die before tomorrow comes. You say, preacher, I don't think you should say stuff like that. I'm just telling you the truth. People die every day. Saved people die every day, and lost people die every day. We have no idea when people are going to leave this world. Jules' sister had been sick, but she had no idea that she was going to die. Straya's brother was not sick. She had no idea that she was going to wake up yesterday and hear that her brother died. And we have no idea of the people that God's put in our life that need Jesus. We have no idea how long they're going to live. So we don't know I don't know if salvation is going to be available to them tomorrow. It's available to them today. I don't know that if Jesus might not come before the day's over. I told a couple people already this morning, I think we're living in the last hours of the last days. I think Jesus could come back at any moment. This verse in 2 Peter says he's long-suffering and he's waiting. He's giving the unsaved a chance to come to himself before he comes back. But one day, the Father's going to say to the Son, hey, it's time for the rapture. Go get our children. And the world is going to change. And it's going to be harder for people to be saved. That's why it's available now. I don't know if Jesus, he may come back. He may come back before I get through preaching this morning. And so now the salvation is available. I don't know if that person that's in my life and in your life that needs Christ, I don't know if they say no today, if they're going to have another chance. You see, I believe that there's a line that lost people can cross. A line that they cross after they reject Christ over and over and over and over and over and over again. And God says, okay, I've asked enough. I've tried to get them to come to the Savior enough. I'm not going to ask again. I'm not going to woo again. And when the Holy Spirit quits calling a person to Jesus Christ, they will never come to Jesus Christ. I believe that's the unpardonable sin, the sin that can never be forgiven by God when a person rejects the Savior and the call of the Holy Spirit to that Savior over and over and over and over and again. And I don't know when that time comes in a person's life. It could come before they have another opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And so I remind all of us this morning that salvation is available now. Salvation is available today. I don't know if it'll be available tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be available next Sunday. I don't know if it'll be available the Sunday after that. I know it's available now. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That's why if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, my encouragement, my plea to you this morning is to get saved now. Get saved today. Come to Jesus Christ today. You're a sinner. Your sin separates you from God. And the only way that you can get back to Him is through the Savior, through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I know most of us are saved this morning. Most of us in this room, the vast majority of us in this room are Christians. We've received Christ as our Savior. If you're still here, and I hope you're still here if you're here, I hope you're not a ghost this morning, but if you're still here, that means God still has a purpose for you. He still has somebody He wants you to reach with the gospel. We need to get at it because the gospel is available now. It's available today. It may not be available tomorrow. It may not be available next week. And so we need to get at it today. The second reason we need to raise the roof is that the need is urgent. It's an urgent need. I don't know what motivated these four men. I don't know that if their friend, the person they carried in the pallet, perhaps he had taken a turn for the worse. Perhaps the doctors of the day had told his family he's not going to make it too much longer. He's not going to last too much longer. I don't know. I don't know why on this particular day they decided to go get this person and take him to Jesus Christ. But their action indicates that they had a sense of urgency in doing it. They picked him up. They carried him to this house. They couldn't get in. So they went up to the roof and they tore the roof off. Now, most Bible scholars that I read after, they think this was Peter's house. Peter lived in Capernaum. Can you imagine? And we know a little bit about Peter. Can you imagine what Peter said to these four guys when they tore the roof off of his house? Now, Peter was a disciple, but there were times where he lost his temper. There were times that he said things that he probably shouldn't have said as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if this was Peter's house, I think when he looked up, because I'm sure he was right around Jesus, when he looked up and saw the dust starting to fall from the ceiling, he excused himself, climbed up the steps, went up to the roof, and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing to my roof? How dare you destroy my roof? Whatever you do, you're going to fix. Whatever you do, you're going to pay for." And they might have been friends of Peter. One of them might have said, "Peter, we'll take care of it. Get mad at us if you want. Yell at us if you want, but we have an urgent mission. We need to do something today that we may not be able to do tomorrow. And we're sorry that your roof has to pay the price, but stay out of our way. Because if you don't stay out of our way, we're going to throw you down too, because we're getting this guy to Jesus Christ." They had a sense of urgency about it. I think some in the crowd might have gotten excited about what they were doing. They said, "These guys are taking cuts. Some of us have been here all morning. I mean, we were first in line to get a place around close to Jesus. And here's these guys, they're cutting line." I hate it when people cut line. I was driving home Friday night after the concert. And on 75 South, they've got it narrowed down to one lane. And you know how they have a couple lanes open, and people, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you get in the right lane and wait your turn. And those people that are in a hurry, they stay in the left lane and they try to get by all the people that are doing what they're supposed to in the right lane. So I was in the right lane. I was doing what I was supposed to do. And all these guys kept passing me on the left. And my ire just got raised. And so I jerked my car over to the right lane, or to the left lane, and I stayed in my place. And there were cars that came up behind me. Honk, 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 honk. I started to stop and get out of the car. But then I was afraid they might have a gun. So I just tapped my brake. And I was saying to myself, "You're not going to get by me, bud." And I'm sure there were people in the crowd that day. What do these guys think they're doing? I've been here since 9 o'clock this morning. I knew it was going to be crowded. I got here early so I could get close to Jesus. What do these guys think they're doing taking cuts in the line? It didn't matter to them. They didn't care what the crowd thought. They had a mission, an urgent mission that they were on to get this person to get him to Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were there. I mean, these were the ones that said, "Who is this guy that thinks that he can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin." I'm sure the Pharisees looked up and said, "Hey, we're going to excommunicate you guys. We're going to take it out on you guys. What are you doing? You're going against everything that we've taught you. This man can't help this sick person. He's just a man. He's nothing special." They didn't realize what was going to happen that day. They didn't realize the miracle that Jesus was going to work. But you see, these four guys says, it doesn't matter what the establishment said. It doesn't matter what the Pharisees say. We're on a mission. It's an urgent mission. We're going to get this guy to Jesus Christ. And then think about this. They didn't even worry about interrupting Jesus. I mean, if somebody, you know, I get upset. I try to keep it to myself when somebody interrupts my preaching. I mean, I get upset. I just want to tell them, "Shut up, sit down. You can talk when I get through talking." And here's these four guys. I mean, they had faith in Jesus Christ. They were bringing their friend because they knew that Jesus could help them. And yet, they did not worry what Jesus thought. Did you ever stop and think Jesus knew they were coming? He wasn't surprised when the dust started to fall from the ceiling. He didn't look up and say, "I wonder what's going on." He knew exactly what was going on. He knew they were coming. He could have said to the people around him, "Hey, make way. Make way. There's four guys coming and they're carrying somebody that's sick. And I'm going to do something miraculous today. Make way." No, he just kept preaching. He kept teaching. He wanted these four guys to act out, to exhibit their faith. He wanted to see how far they would go to get this one to him so that he could help them. We need to have a sense of urgency about lost people going to hell. We have become too complacent. We have taken it for granted. We've gotten to the point, and let me give you an illustration. Let's say that you have a neighbor, and it's an older couple. They live right next door to you. And let's say a piece of aluminum blows off their house, and you notice it. Now, it would be okay for you to say, "Well, you know, this is an older couple. I don't want to go over early in the morning because I'm sure they're not up yet. I don't want to go over late at night because I'm sure they're in bed. I'll just wait until I can go over maybe on the weekend, a convenient time when I know they're going to be awake, a convenient time when I know I won't bother them, and I'll tell them about this piece of aluminum that's blown off their house, and I'll offer to fix it for them." And we would think that, hey, you're a kind person to be so considerate to wait until a convenient time, a time it wouldn't bother them, to go fix that piece of aluminum. But if their house was on fire, if their house was burning, if they were in the house and needed help to get out, we would think you were a terrible person if you said, "Well, I don't want to bother them. I'm going to wait till a more convenient time. I'm going to give them a chance to wake up, or I'm going to wait till the next day because I know they're in bed already." We would think you were a terrible person to wait for a more convenient time for you, a more convenient time for them. No, our expectation of you as a concerned neighbor, regardless of what time it was, regardless of how inconvenient it was, regardless of what was going on in the neighborhood, we would expect you to go over and knock on the door, knock on the window, cry out in a loud voice, "Hey, your house is on fire. You need to get out of here." And yet there are too many of us that treat a lost person like a piece of aluminum have fallen off their house instead of treating them like their house is on fire and they have the potential to die and go to hell and spend eternity in hell. This morning, we need to raise the roof because that's where lost people go. They go to hell. And there's no chance, there's no second chances after a person goes to hell. We become too complacent. We need to raise the roof. We need to tell them, hey, you're headed for a place of fire. The only chance that you have is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number three, quickly, Jesus can meet their need. He can meet their need. In this story, he met the most important one first of all. You see, the four men that brought their friend to Jesus thought his most important need was his physical need. If we can get, he's sick of the palsy. He can't walk. He's a cripple. If we can get him to Jesus, Jesus can heal him. Now, Jesus eventually did that, but what he'd do first? He took care of the most important need. He said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The men thought the most important need was the one that they could see on the outside. Jesus knew the most important need was the one that he had on the inside, his relationship to God. And so Jesus said, "I'm going to fix you up on the inside because that's the thing you need most." And again, he looked up and saw their faith, not the person's faith that was being carried, but the faith of the people that brought him to Christ. I want to tell you something. I don't believe God has changed. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that verse in Malachi where the Bible says, "I am God, I change not." I believe that our faith in bringing a person to the Lord Jesus Christ can result in their salvation. Now, they're not saved by our faith, but our faith in bringing them to Christ leads to their faith in accepting Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what happened. I believe when this one that was on the pallet being carried saw the lengths that his friends went through to get him to Jesus Christ, that something began to well up in his heart and his mind and say, "Boy, what these guys believe about Jesus must be true. Look at everything they're going through. They're tearing off the roof. They don't care what the owner of the house says. They don't care what the crowd says. They don't care what the Pharisees say. They don't even care what Jesus said. Look at the lengths they're going through to get me to Jesus Christ. I better listen. I better think about it. I better receive him as my Savior as well." And I believe the people that God's put in our life that we have a sense of urgency about, that we have a sense that says, I need to get them to Jesus Christ today. I believe people will see our faith and say, "Wow, look at what my friend is going through. Look at how many times he's witnessed to me, even though I've cursed at him and told him to shut up. Look at how many tracts he's given to me, even though I've tore him up and threw him down at his feet. Look at how many times he's told me he's prayed for me. Look at how many times he's invited me to church. And I said, no, no, no. And he keeps coming back, or she keeps coming back, and she keeps praying, and he or she keeps witnessing to me. There must be something about this faith in this one called Jesus." And I think many, many people come to Jesus Christ because of the witness and the persistency of their friends. And so, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you. Oh, and by the way, I'll take care of the outside too. I'll heal your sickness. Take up your bed. Go home. Go home. Got a loved one with a need? Bring them to Jesus. Got a friend with a need? Bring them to Jesus. Got an acquaintance with a need? Bring them to Jesus. First priority is to get them saved. And again, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, our first priority for you is to introduce you to the one that saved us. Introduce you to the one who died for your sins. Introduce you to the one that invites you to come to himself as your only hope for heaven, as your only way back to God. But again, God doesn't just stop there. The Bible says that he can supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We need to raise the roof. Jesus is available now. The need is urgent, and he can meet the need. We need to bring him in. We need to bring him to Jesus. There's a verse in Psalm 126, verse 6 of that chapter that says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The Bible doesn't tell the end of that story, but let me just tell you how I think it ended. This man rolled up his pallet, his bed, stuck it under his arm, walked out through the crowd, out the door. His four buddies came down from the roof. They hugged each other, and they walked home together rejoicing. Not just because they were walking together, but because their sins were forgiven, and all five of them were a part of the family of God. There's not a better rejoicing than to rejoice with one that you brought to Jesus Christ. Not a better way to rejoice than rejoice with the one you brought to Jesus Christ. Let's raise the roof. Who cares what people say? Who cares what the establishment, who cares what the world says? They don't know anything about it. But we who know Jesus Christ know all about it. And we need to share what we have. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. We know it so well. Help us not to miss the blessed truth that's in it. Help us to understand that salvation is available now and that the need is urgent and that Jesus can meet those needs. But we need to do our part. We need to bring our friends, our family, our acquaintances to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray if there's somebody here this morning, maybe just one, maybe two, that's never received Christ as their Savior. Holy Spirit, help them understand they're a sinner. They need a Savior. They need Jesus. Help them to, right where they sit, confess their sin, ask Jesus to save them. Help them to walk the aisle, confess him publicly. Father, if they need help doing that, help them to come, and we'll take the Bible and show them how to do that. Just bless this time of invitation. We give it to you and ask you to work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.